This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Cool stories, aren't they? Wow, yeah, you can clap. That's exciting. You know, the other day I was online and I was reading this someone's blog, and they made a statement that I wanted to share with you. The statement was this. They said, okay, the two most powerful words in the English language are the words, what if? What if? And of course, there's no doubt about it. I mean, those words have birthed, countless numbers of innovative ideas and inventions and solutions, no doubt about it. But are they really the two most powerful words in the English language? I don't think so. No. In fact, I would have to say that the two most powerful words that can ever be spoken by a human being in any language are the words yes and no. That's right, yes and no. I mean, those, I would say, are the most powerful words in the human language. Universe, yes and no. I mean, have you ever thought about how many times a day you and I say those words, yes and no? Hey, Dad, can I play outside? No. Yeah, but Mom said yes. Okay, well then why did you ask me? Right? Yes and no. Powerful words that you and I say all the time, don't we? And see, part of the reason I think these words are so powerful is because if you think about it, these two words in many ways define us, don't they? They define us. They define what we do. They define where we go, how we do certain things. They define us. And yet you and I both know that sometimes we can be pretty casual with our use of those words, can't we? That's right. I mean, you know, sometimes how we say the word yes when we should really be saying no, and we know it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Hey, can I get you to commit to this thing? Yes. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, would you pay for this thing? Hey, would you help lead this thing? Hey, would you be willing to watch my ADD, hyperactive, insomniac quadruplets while me and my husband go to Hawaii for 9 years? yes. You know, I mean, it's like we want to say no, but for whatever reason, like our lips get hijacked. And that yes, like just seems to slip out a lot easier than the no. And Jesus, he once talked about these exact two words. In fact, let me show it to you. He said something very direct, very, very to the point about those words yes and no. It's found in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let me show you this passage. Jesus here is talking to, he's talking to this group of religious people who were having some problems with making vows and promises that they were not keeping. They weren't fulfilling them. And so Jesus basically says, he says, okay, enough is enough. And in verse 37, he says these words, Matthew 5, let your yes be simply yes, and your no be simply no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Pretty black and white. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Well, of course, outside of the fact that he was the Son of God, Jesus really, I think, had a lot of equity. I think he had a right to say these words, because when you begin to look at his life, you begin to realize that Jesus was a master of this. That's right. He was a master of letting his yes be yes and his no be no. I mean, he knew when to say yes, even when it cost him his life. I mean, this was how he lived. Jesus said yes. He knew what to say yes to. He said yes to becoming a human. He said yes to pouring out love and hope and compassion and healing. He said yes to being a servant. He knew when to say yes, which also means he knew when to say what? No. No to things like temptation. No to things like pressure. And Jesus knew when to say yes, and he knew when to say no. And because of that, he had great clarity as to why he was here. And because of that, not only did his life have this tremendous sense of purpose and mission, but the relationships in his life went far beneath the surface and were full of depth and substance and purpose. And see, ultimately, that's exactly what this series is all about. It's about going beneath the surface in our relationships and learning how you and I can truly make the kind of impact in someone's life that truly makes a mark. Not one that rubs off, not one that's there one second and one the next, but the kind of mark that stays with them for their entire lives. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's, you know, in your parenting or in your dating relationship or the dating relationship you wish you had or your work. That was funny. Now let's have a little talk here because, you know, last weekend you guys were kind of mellow. It's okay. All right. So anyway, so whether it's your work relationships, whether it's your family, whatever kind of relationships it is, it's about going beneath the surface. And what I'm talking about is experiencing the kind of relationships that God says, okay, this is what I want. I want you to engage in relationships that truly go beneath the surface. How many of you want that in your life? We all do. I mean, relationships where your yes really means yes, and where your no really means no. Well, of course, what I'm talking about tonight is what's known as boundaries. Everyone say boundaries. Boundaries. Okay, so just like the property that you live at has boundaries, whether it's a fence or a wall or some sort of moat with alligators and other dangerous reptiles, okay, whatever else it might be, the boundaries that you have are all communicating the same thing. They're all saying this, okay, this is where my property begins, and this is where it ends. And I'm responsible for whatever is in between these boundaries. Well, in a very similar way, our relational boundaries do the exact same thing. They identify almost like this personal property line, what I am responsible for and what I am not responsible for. And I'll tell you, this is such a huge topic because see people who understand boundaries, people who really get this, understand a couple of things. I mean, for one, it means that if I get it, that I understand that I have just one life to live. One. That's it, one life. And one day when I die, I will stand before God and I will give account for that one life. One life. See, people who have boundaries understand that. But they also understand, okay, that your job and mine is to live a life that first and foremost pleases God and loves people. See, the problem comes when we get that mixed up, when we start thinking and we start believing that our job is to go through life trying to please all the people in our lives. And see, the reason I think this is so important is because if I don't have this this real clear sense of purpose in my life, if I don't have this real clear sense of who God created me to be and to do the things that he's called me to do, if I don't have any idea about these boundaries that he's called me to in my life, then eventually what happens, and probably all of us can relate to this, is what happens is we become overcommitted. We become exhausted. We become tired. We become self-absorbed. We become resentful. And then on top of that all, we feel guilty about it, don't we? See, that's what happens. And when that happens, not only do I then begin to damage myself, but I begin to damage other people. And ultimately, I miss out. And my relationships miss out on becoming the kind of relationships that God wants me to have. And so let's talk about boundaries tonight. All right. Now, there are typically two types of boundary problems that people have. In fact, chances are almost everyone here would probably falls into one of these categories, one or the other. One is what's known as the compliant person. The other is what's known as the controller. Now, let's talk about these. Okay, the compliant person. The compliant is sort of is kind of like the person who just has a really hard time saying no. Some of you are here at church tonight because you just couldn't say no. Someone's been asking you, and you're like, you know, if it'll just get you to shut up, I will go. Okay? And we're glad that you're compliant in this situation. Anyway, and so what happens is compliant people oftentimes have a hard time saying no. And when that happens, it's oftentimes what happens is they say yes when they really should be saying no. And so what happens is they overcommit themselves. They commit themselves to tasks, to projects, to events, to people, to relationships, whatever, that they really shouldn't be committed to. And because, see, maybe they didn't want to hurt another person's feelings. Or because they really wanted to feel liked by other people, or because they, you know, they are whatever, a number of reasons. They just have a really hard time getting the word no, no, to come out of their mouths. Now, let's just be really honest here, okay? Let's have confession time. Many of you are from Catholic backgrounds, so this will be easy for you, okay? Let's just be really honest, okay? Oh, that was funny. We love Catholics. Let me just ask you, how many of you would say this section right here needs to loosen up in the name of the Lord? Okay, listen. Wow. Okay, listen. Just out of curiosity, how many of you would say that you have the tendency to lean towards the compliant side? How many of you? Keep your hand up. Go ahead, raise it up. Go ahead. Some of your husbands are like, listen, hon, go ahead and put your, okay, look around. Okay, see, these are the compliance. What's cool about this is they would do this all day if I asked them to. Oh, yeah, I could say, stand up on your chair right now and do the hokey pokey. And they'd be like, fine. And they would do it. All day, perhaps, all night, because they're compliant people. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have what's known as the controller. We won't have you raise your hand because no one really likes you. But there's the controller. Okay, so here's the deal. If the compliant person has a hard time saying no, the controller has a hard time hearing the word no. In fact, when someone says no to a controller, what they actually hear is the word maybe. And when someone says maybe to them, it's a definite yes, for sure. Now, John Ortberg is a great author. He did a great talk on this subject that was actually real helpful for this talk tonight. But he asks a great question. He says, what happens when a peace-loving compliant meets an insensitive controller? They get married. And unfortunately, over time, if some boundaries do not get put into place, if boundaries are not developed, it's going to be one tough relationship. Because the truth is, no matter where you fall at in that spectrum, whether you are a compliant person, whether you are a controller, the truth is, listen, both sides have the potential to cause a lot of damage in a relationship. And so this boundaries thing, it's a huge issue. And it tends to be a big issue in a handful of areas of our lives. And so tonight what I want to do is I want to talk about three areas, and I know your service guide says four. But I ran out of time, so we're going to do three, okay? Actually, they said I had an extra hour, right? Four. It's four now. It's four. It might even do six or seven. But anyway, okay, so I want to talk about three relational areas of our lives where boundaries are absolutely essential if we are going to truly go beneath the surface in those relationships. Okay, so let's dive in. The first area that I think this probably affects all of us and every one of us probably to some degree or another, I'm talking about friendships. Okay, friendships. Now, let's just be honest. Friendships can really be a funny thing, can't they? Yeah, have you ever noticed how many different types of friends there are in our lives? You know, for example, we all know what it's like to have those relationships that are just completely exhausting and draining, right? That's right, the draining relationships, draining friendships, or as I like to call them, relationships. Just think on that. Relationships, because they're like leeches, aren't they? It's like they suck the life out of you. They drain you. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you actually recognize that leech there. You're like, man, I dated him. It's my ex-husband. No, anyway, sorry, that was bad. Oh, man. So anyway, as followers of Christ, we have to love these people that we are in relationship with, but oftentimes we spend way too much time with them. And so you know how you get rid of leeches? Does anyone know? You burn them. Anyway, so let's move on. Now, I'm not saying you should. You have to love them, but you don't have to like them. Big difference. Okay, anyway. Now, so there's also those kind of relationships. Maybe they're not such draining relationships, but there's what's called neutral relationships. Neutral relationships are good. They're kind of a give and take. You know, they're sort of just neutral. But then there are those relationships that I'm sure that you don't usually have tons of these, but there's maybe one or two in your life. And those are what I like to call replenishing friendships. You know what I'm talking about? The kind of friendships, the kind of relationships where when you're done hanging out with that person, you just feel energized. You know what I'm saying? You feel great when you walk away from being around that person. Refreshed. And the truth is, I think all of us here, every one of us, want great friendships, don't we? You may not admit it. You may not think you need them, but I promise you, you need them. And most of us want those great relationships. Well, of course, you know, the kind of friendships we want are not the draining ones. The kind we want are the friendships where not only do we feel refreshed, but that we actually have an opportunity to leave a mark, to leave an impact that really lasts in that person's life. But we also know that that does not happen automatically. No, in fact, it takes quite a bit of intentionality. It takes quite a bit of this thing called give and take, right? Where the other person has some degree of clarity as to where my boundaries are. And see, that's why if you've ever been in a relationship where you feel like you're the only one that's giving and giving and giving, and you make all the phone calls, you initiate the contact 99% of the time, except when there's a problem, then they contact you, and then you're the one driving the relationship to the point that you feel like, you know what, if I didn't do my part, this relationship probably wouldn't even exist. Okay, well, that right there is an example of a relationship that has a boundary problem. Okay, same thing with relationships where one person is incredibly needy. Okay, where all you hear from that person is, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. And no matter how much time, energy, emotion that you invest and give that person, you just know that it is never going to be enough. And the problem is, if you're a compliant person, you feel torn. You feel guilty. You feel like you can't say no. And so, see, that's why things like limitations are so important in our relationships. Limitations. I mean, listen, relationships have to have limitations because we are limited people. So we need limitations. I mean, there's only so much that you can give another person. I think sometimes Christians in particular really struggle with this because they just feel like, man, I'm just not being a good Christian if I don't just give and give and give and give. Listen, limitations are so vital in our relationships. I mean, think about it. Even our love has limitations. Everything has limitations. There's a great book that I put in your notes. It's called Boundaries. How many of you ever read the book Boundaries? One of you. Awesome. Amazon book sales are going to fly through the roof tonight. Anyway, Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. And in one of their chapters, they make this great point by pointing to a story that you all are probably familiar with because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. But it's a story that Jesus told, the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember that from a few weeks ago? We talked about Good Samaritan? Okay, basically, for those of you who don't know, the story goes like this, okay? A man is beaten up, thrown by the side of the road. Two religious dudes walk by. But because their boundaries are so strict, and because they have these religious boundaries, they do absolutely nothing to help the person. But then one day, or at one moment, a Samaritan guy comes along who is like the last guy in the world that anyone would ever imagine helping this person out. But the guy's just moved with compassion, and so he stops and he bandages the guys up. He takes him down to the hotel 8 or 6 or Holiday Inn or whatever it was, and he says to the innkeeper, he says, okay, here, I need you. I'm just going to leave this guy here because I have to go take care of some business. And he says, but, okay, if there's anything that you have to do above and beyond this, I will pay you back for it next time I'm through here. And so Jesus tells the story, and he commends the Samaritan. He says, I did a great job. He really showed love. Well, just for a moment, imagine if that story would have taken a drastic turn right about the place where the Samaritan's getting ready to leave. And so just imagine Jesus telling the story, okay? And right at the point where the Samaritan's getting ready to leave because he has business to attend to, the injured man wakes up and says, "Whoa, where are you going? You're leaving me? Are you serious? I mean, I'm laying here bleeding and hurting, and you're worried about making money in your business? Seems kind of selfish to me." And you call yourself a Samaritan. And then imagine if the Samaritan was like overcome with guilt by that. And the Samaritan kind of looked at him and said, "You know what? I'm sorry. You're right. You know what? Here, take my Amex. Take all my credit cards. Take my checkbook. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to forget the business deal. I'm so sorry that I was so selfish." See, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But yet, how many of us engage in that kind of relationship day in and day out? Well, thankfully, the story doesn't go that way. Instead, what we see in the story, this is the bottom line. Okay, listen, helping and loving, caring, all of these things have limits. They have limits. I mean, for example, okay, the Samaritan takes the man to an inn, right? He doesn't move the guy into his home, right? He pays for a few days of expenses, but he doesn't give him a blank check. No, he's the good Samaritan, not the gargantuan Samaritan. Okay, there are limitations. And so here's the deal. Some of you are in a relationship where limits need to be set right now. Okay, whether it's because you're the one who is always initiating being together, and frankly, maybe the other person just isn't as committed as you are in the relationship. Or maybe you're in a relationship where with somebody, and every time you get together, the focus always turns on the other person's needs or issues. Let me tell you something. If you don't start talking about these things, and if you don't start defining those boundaries, not only will you be hurting yourself, because after a while, that stuff begins to build up on the inside of you, and it takes you further and further away from where God wants you to go. Not only does it hurt you, but you're also going to be doing a huge disservice to this person who you're calling a friend or whatever it is they are in your life. Because if they keep doing that, they're going to end up pushing everybody away from them because they are so obsessed with themselves. And so if you love that person, have the conversation. Be a friend to them. Be a truth teller in their life, no matter how hard that might be. Be that person. You know, maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum and your boundaries are too rigid. Maybe you're holding back when you should be saying yes more often. Perhaps your friendship with a certain individual in your life is more out of convenience because of something not because you really enjoy being around them, but because there's something that you get out of that relationship. Let me tell you something. That's called using someone, and it's wrong. And so what you need to do is you need to address that and you need to correct that, whatever it might be. And let me just say, there's some of you here, I know there's got to be, there's some of you here today, you don't have any friends in your life right now. And it's because when the moment comes for you to really open up and be vulnerable, you become afraid. And maybe you're afraid because of something that happened to you in the past, and those are legitimate issues that happened to you that need to be healed, but maybe it's because of that, maybe it's previous, whatever, hurts or whatever it might be. Listen. Some of you need to be willing to take a relational risk if you are ever going to experience the beauty and the depth that God says we can experience in our friendships with others. And some of you, you've made the decision, I'm done. I'm done with marriage. I'm done with friendships. I'm done with any kind of relationship. Listen, be willing to take a relational risk and allow God to guide you and direct you as you take those steps. Does it mean is there a guarantee that you're not going to be hurt? No, of course there's not, because with humans, we all screw up sometimes, don't we? But be willing to take a risk. And so some of you need to say yes, maybe a little more often. Then there's some of you need to say no, a lot more often. So boundaries are huge when it comes to friendships in our lives. But you know where else they're huge? They're huge when it comes to our families. Let's talk about families, okay? They're huge when it comes to our families because if you think about it, is it not our families where we first learn about boundaries, right? I mean, the first place we really start learning about boundaries in our lives is in our families. Because as all of you know, especially if you have children like I do, okay, that right around the age of two, a child is going to learn one of these two words. You know which word it is? No. No. And it will become one of their favorite words. And of course, time for a nap. No. Eat your food. No. And give me my iPhone back right now. No. And see, over time, the child will learn to love that word. And they will say it with great joy. But what happens, parents, when we hear our little kids say that word? We don't like it, do we? No. We don't like it at all. And so often, we tell them, don't say that. Don't say no to me. You don't know who you're talking to. Don't say no to me. We'll punish them for saying no, right? But listen. This is huge. Parents, as much as we don't like that word, none of us like it, I understand that. Learning to say no, even as a child, is actually very important and an integral part of us learning how to set boundaries in our lives. In fact, the word no is probably the most important boundary word we can say, no. And so as much as we hate it, listen, parents, we need to allow our children to say the word no. We need to let them know it's okay to say no. It's not okay to be disrespectful, but it's okay to say no. And I'll tell you, listen, this is a much larger issue than most of us realize because of the way that this has a tendency to translate itself into our lives as adults, okay? Because there are probably even some of you, you've experienced that as a kid growing up where every time you said no, you got slammed. You got busted for it. You got in trouble for it. And it's like, and you found yourself kind of when you said no, knowing at that moment that you're going to experience a little bit less love at that moment. And so now you find yourself kind of walking through life the way you did as a child, looking around at all the important people around you, constantly hoping and wondering what it is they think about you. And unfortunately, the way that it plays out in a lot of people's lives is through this constant pressure to say yes to everything. Because you're afraid that if you don't, well, then that love or that acceptance might not be there. It might be withdrawn. But I'll tell you, listen, living this way will ultimately keep those relationships in your life from ever going beneath the surface. It will keep you from ever being able, to leave the kind of mark that lasts in the life of the other person. So maybe for some of you, you need to start taking some baby steps in your life of saying no. You know, but perhaps some of you, you need someone asks you maybe for help, maybe even this week, someone asks you for help, or and I don't use that, as an excuse and say, well, pastor says say no a lot this week, so, hon, no, I'm not going to do it. No, don't do that. Use your brain, okay? Perhaps someone asks you to help them with something or to do sort of a favor for them, and you just know that you really don't have time to do it without it impacting your time with your kids. Or your spouse, or something else, and so for some of you, you need to start taking those little baby steps of being willing and start working out that no muscle, okay? That no muscle. You need to work that out a bit more in the days ahead, okay? So children, listen. Children need to learn to say no, but they also listen. This is huge too. But they also need to learn to hear the word no. Oh, now here we go. Now you all agree. That's real convenient. I like that. Oh, yeah. They do that. They need to learn to hear the word no. And I know it's not always easy, especially because kids just love boundaries, don't they? No. They hate boundaries. And parents, we know it's true because you know what? Not a lot changes when we become adults, does it? We don't like boundaries either. But our kids need boundaries. And so what they need is they need parents who, with a lot of love and a lot of wisdom, can set boundaries in their lives and make sure that those boundaries have consequences. Our kids need that. And we could probably spend tons of time talking about how this affects our kids and all that. But here's something that I think is so important for us as parents. Listen, let me just give you an example. Parents, listen. A real problem can show up in our families and in the development of our kids, when we as the parents start taking inappropriate responsibility for our children's problems. Okay, for example, I talked about this a long time ago, but how many of us as parents have ever heard our kids walk in the house, middle of summer, and say these two words? I'm bored. Right? I'm bored. Of course we all have. And it's crazy because, I mean, look, first of all, do you realize all the cool stuff that's out there now that wasn't out when I was a kid? And what really sucks about saying that right now is that that's one of the things I said I would never say, and I just said it. In my day. Oh, anyway. But see, oh, forgive me, Lord. Okay, so here's what tends to happen in that situation. Our kid comes in. I'm bored. Okay, so what do we as parents do? Well, we start suggesting ideas, don't we? Well, why you could do this? No. Okay, did you play your video games? No. Well, you could read. No. You could go visit grandma for 9 weeks. No. And so our kids just say, no, I don't want to do that. And so as parents, we keep going down the list, don't we? Oh, how about this option? It's like we're Vanna White. You know, how about this, huh? How about this, huh? And the next thing you know, we're at the pet store buying like a dog and 5 cats. Right? And then our kids get bored with those a week later, and then they're our responsibility, and we want to kill the cats, which isn't, well, we're not going to go there. But anyway, here's what I'm getting at. Listen. If a child becomes bored, whose problem is that? It's your child's problem. It's not yours. Listen, a child's boredom is not the parent's problem. I'm going to say that again. Let me back up. A child's boredom is not the parent's problem. And so when your children, when they come to you and say, I'm bored. Okay, instead of saying, well, how about this? How about that? Let's go to Disney World. What do you want to do? By the way, was that Beat It that I heard earlier? Whoa. Speaking of boundaries. Okay, anyway. So the next time your kid comes to you and says, I'm bored. Instead of saying, how about this, what if we said, you know what, honey, that's a real problem, isn't it? And you know what, you have hit the nail on the head. You definitely know what's going on here, don't you? You're sharp. You know, that just shows me you're one heck of a bright kid. And I believe because of that, you're going to find a way to figure out a solution to this problem and then walk away. I'm just saying. Now listen, this is huge, okay? Listen, mom and dad, listen. Here's why this is huge. It's not just huge because bless you. It's not just huge because of what happens right on the spot. It's huge because, listen, if you constantly take it upon yourself to figure out every issue of boredom in your children's life, then guess what you're teaching them? You're teaching them that their feelings of boredom is somebody else's problems. And the problem with that is that as they go through life, what's going to happen is they're going to go through life expecting other people to make their boredom or their sadness or their pain or whatever it is go away. And they will never get clarity on the fact that what lies within the boundaries of my life is my responsibility. It's mine. It doesn't mean that you don't go to people for help, but there are just some things that are your responsibility that no one else can do for you. And so children need to learn that there are boundaries and that those boundaries have consequences and that it's okay for them to say no. And when they do say it, they need to know that they're still going to be loved, that they're still going to be accepted, that they're still going to be embraced by you, their parents. And so for some of you as parents, the best thing you could do is have a sit down this week and think about some of the boundaries that you need to put in place with your children. And as you do that, listen, here's what will happen. I believe slowly but surely that relationship with them, mom and dad, with your kids, will begin to experience a greater level of purpose, a greater level of depth. That's going beneath the surface. Now, there's one more relational area that I want to talk about. I'm saving this one for last, okay? But it's probably the most important, and that is making sure that there are boundaries that exist in our relationship with God. That's right. What I'm talking about are spiritual boundaries. Okay, what I'm talking about is it's this right here. It's how saying yes to God means saying no to anything else that gets in the way of following him. Okay? No to things like temptation. No to things like sin. No to things like myself. Yourself. Saying yes to God means saying no to anything else that gets in the way of following him. And see, I think so much of the time, there's bugs just, anyway. But see, I think so much of the time, people feel like they have such a shallowy, surfacey relationship with God. It's like this dull relationship. I think sometimes it's because oftentimes what we want is we want to follow God and ourselves. Right? We want to follow God and ourselves. We want to follow God, but still do things our way. Problem with that is it keeps that relationship with God right there at the surface. We don't go deep. There's no depth. And the scriptures, I think, provide some great examples of this, of the kind of boundaries that God sets up for us. In fact, one of those stories is the Ten Commandments. Now, in case you don't know the story, or maybe you didn't see the movie, one day, basically here's what happens. One day, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God. And one of those commandments was, "You shall have no other gods before me." Okay, you shall bow down before no graven images. And so Moses is on top of this mountain for 40 days, and he leaves his brother Aaron behind, who's the high priest, to now be in charge of all the people. And it's here where things start getting really funky, okay? Exodus 32, look at this. Here's what happens. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. "Come on," they said, "make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses." They don't even, like, they pretend they don't know him, right? We don't even know what's happened to that, you know, the guy, what's his name? Oh, Moses, yeah, Moses, who brought us here from the land of Egypt. In other words, they're standing there saying to Aaron, "We're bored. We're bored. We're tired of waiting. Who knows when God's going to tell us what to do? So we want some other God. I'm bored with this God. I want to exchange it for a new one. We're bored here." And so you have God. Okay, you got God who, like, sets these really black and white boundaries. I know that's not real postmodern, black and white. No, listen, God says some very black and white things. Sure, there's a lot of gray that we don't know about God, but there's some black and white, friends. Listen, so God has set this very clear boundary. He says, "I will be your only God." Do you hear me? No other gods. Yes to me and me only. Do not substitute anything for your relationship with me. And then on the other side, you've got the people who are saying, "No, we don't want him to be God anymore. No, we want some gods that we can control. Yeah, we don't want to trust that God. We want a different God." Isn't it funny how we tend to be that way too sometimes? You know, it's like we want to take over the role of God when we're tired of trusting or waiting. I mean, think about it. Okay, all he needed to do was say one word, no. That's it. One word, no. There's one God, and that's it. No way. We are not going to do it. No. Perhaps there are some of you here tonight, and for whatever reason, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for God, and maybe there's been pressure in your life, maybe there's just been some bad, a bunch of bad choices, maybe there's been some unhealthy habits, whatever it is, and you are at this exact same spot where you are ready to walk right now. Or maybe you're right on the verge of saying yes to the wrong thing. You've been thinking about it the entire time that you've been in this church tonight. You've been thinking about that thing that you're just feeling. You're about to say yes to the wrong thing. It might be temptation. It might be sin. It might be a wrong relationship. Whatever it might be. Or maybe you've already walked. Okay, and maybe you've already said yes to the wrong thing, whatever it is. Maybe it's a boundary issue, whatever it is. Listen, whatever it is, it all comes back to the boundaries that we have in our lives, and in this case, in our relationship with God. And so here's a question for you. Are you willing, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're thinking of doing, are you willing to say no to anything that might be standing in the way of following God? Are you willing to surrender so that God can take that relationship where he longs to take it? Some of you long to go deep with God, but you haven't been willing to say no to the things you should say no to. I mean, just imagine living your life this way. Imagine making your whole life a consistent, wholehearted, unconditional yes to God. Imagine that. Imagine what your life would look like. Well, it's going to mean saying lots of no's. And really, I think it begins with this last relationship we're talking about, our relationship with God. Saying yes to God and being willing to say no to anything else that stands in the way of following him. Some of you tonight, you've come in with some pretty tough relationships, and I just want to encourage you to say yes to God, because I think starting there is going to empower you to build boundaries in some of your other relationships in your life. Saying yes to God means being willing to say no to anything else that stands in the way of following him. That's called surrender. Surrender. And for some of you, that's where all of this starts today. Saying yes to the things you should say yes to, starting with God. And saying no to the things you should say no to. Because remember, what did Jesus say? He said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Let's pray tonight. God, you have given us some great examples in the scriptures. And it's amazing to me, too, how practical and relevant the scriptures are to our everyday lives. I mean, really, any idea that makes our relationships better in this life, it really comes from the scriptures, ultimately. It's not original with an author, it's original with you. And part of that reason is because, God, you have shown us the ultimate relationship. And you've shown us boundaries, you've shown us limitations, you've shown us all of these things simply by creating us as human beings with the ability to choose and make decisions. So God, I pray that tonight, as we sit here for just a moment, as people who are not made as robots, but as people who have been given the opportunity to choose, I pray, God, tonight that we would choose to say yes to you and no to anything that might be standing in the way of our relationship with you. God, we open our hearts to you tonight. God, we want to surrender every single part of our lives to you tonight. Would you just sit now and just listen to this song as Taylor and Amanda sing? Just listen to the words and just do some reflection right now on your heart. Would you do that? You know, it really comes down to those two words, yes or no. I mean, if you think about it, surrendering to God, I mean, any part of your life, whether it's saying, okay, I'm going to surrender this relationship, I'm going to surrender my heart to you, surrender my children who I'm stressed out about and I feel like I'm not doing a great job as a parent. Whatever it is, really, that's what surrendering is doing. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to say yes to God, which means saying no to anything that keeps me apart from him. And so I want us to sing this song in just a second. Would you stand with me? And I want us to sing this, and I want you to think about your life for a minute. What areas of my life is God dealing with me about tonight in regards to boundaries? Maybe it's an issue of fear in your relationship. Maybe it's a controlling. Maybe you're one of these people and you feel like you're just way in the ditch on controlling this other person. Maybe you're on the other side of the ditch and you feel like that you're so compliant that you're being walked on. What if tonight You made a decision to surrender that to him. And I'll tell you, in this last week, the stories we've heard from people just in 1 week through this series of what God has been doing has been awesome. But I know there's some of you, you've come in, you're holding on to those relationships with your arm out like that. And you're saying, I'm not going to let, let go tonight. And be free in Jesus' name. Let God do his work in your relationships. And so tonight, can we sing that chorus, Taylor and Amanda? Let's sing that chorus. And as we sing that, would you just lift up to God whatever it is you need to surrender to him tonight? Let's do that.